Blog Talk Radio.
Having some of our brothers and sisters in their prison system, while they offer little or no help for their health care during this pandemic. little or no health care. Also, if you come to think about Texas, the so-called government of Texas have decided in their election, which is not uniform across these United States of America, if something was right, it would be uniform across the board. But it seems like each state can make whatever decision they may have a whim to, whatever governor or voting organization that they have within their states. But the governor is telling you, if you are a Texan, that poll workers and voters don't have to wear face masks. I guess the polls protect people from COVID-19. My brothers and sisters, these people don't care about you. So why should you participate in that madness? I don't garner that. Why should you participate in their insanity? Poll workers and voters don't have to wear a face mask while voting. That's going to protect them because it's just a poll place. I don't think we're going to care whether or not it's a poll place or anywhere else for that matter. Our brothers and sisters locked down in these prison systems, these in inner prison system, with little or no health care. Let me give a word of caution to you. Follow all CDC guidelines the best you can to the best of your ability. Also, try to maintain your mental health during this crisis. Try to keep in contact with someone. Try to get involved with something. Try to exercise the best you can. Try to eat healthy. Try to read a book. And most importantly, stay connected with the Most High. Yes, you do need devotion. My name is Yom Suf, and this is the Intensive Investigatory Real Talk Show. Perhaps for some of you, it's nothing like you've ever seen, nothing like you've ever been involved in, because we are not your leaders. We're just fellow students with you in your travels through history to ascertain the who, what, where, when, and how, as to how in our historical lessons, how we interacted with the Most High, how we interacted with one another, how we interacted with other nations. You see, we have something called a black culture. What is that? A black culture. Culture is supposed to make one better, improves one a lot, make it like some other people want to be a part of it. But what do we offer with this so-called false labeling, first and foremost? A misnomer. The name in itself. And then what culture do we have under this misnomer? What do we have to contribute to the world that the world is beating our doors at right now as we speak? Tell me one thing. One thing that we have that the world is beating our doors to right now as we speak. Yes, you do need devotion. Because what we are offering you in these studies is something that will make someone grab hold of you and say, hold on, wait just a minute. I ain't never heard it like that before. And then when the time we had to walk through the fire, believe you me, if you're not black and you're one of us, they're going to hold on to you. Oh, man, hold on. Don't go nowhere, lady. Don't go nowhere, brother.
Let me hold on to you. Whatever you got, I want is working for me. Because you got real culture. But what we got now, brothers and sisters, are a hot mess. Our brothers and sisters killing each other. Our brothers killing each other. Selling drugs in our community. Alcoholism, prostitution, sexual perversion of every slot and lot. Our children killing one another. And you call that culture? I call that a hot mess. Yes, you do need devotion. You do need these intensive investigatory studies so you can know what real culture is and who you really are. My name is Yamsuf Arif. And before I get started in my studies, let me bring my brother and friend on, Cartrell. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you, my brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, family. Shalom, brother Yamsuf Ari. May the Most High bless you.
Thank you very much, my brother and friend. I know you have some commentaries, and we're all ears, my brother.
You said a mouthful, man. What they call black culture is the evidence of them taking away our roots, who we are, our identity, because we've been stripped of our land, our language, our culture. And what they call black culture is the result of them stripping us of our true culture.
Exactly.
But even in that, you know, we are people who are creative. We have that creative gene inside of us. Which is why we created jazz and R&B and all types of genre of music.
Exactly.
And it's not just the music. It's the impact we've made in sports, in all areas of sports, how we elevated each and every game we've participated in.
Mm-hmm.
And then you talk about the inventions of our people.
Mm-hmm.
And they try to put that in a melting pot and say that that's our culture. That's
right.
Our survival in our culture. That's our survival.
Exactly.
What we need to do to live.
Exactly.
The circumstances of oppression and repression and whatever they threw at us.
Exactly.
In spite of what they threw at us, we still have that creative gene inside of us, whether it be music, entertainment, sports, or invention. So, what you see coming from our people is a result of oppression. It is not our culture, who we are, what our roots are. It's part of it because we're the only people, you know, that's tied to our roots, and you can't take that away from us. But how we evolved under oppression and duress is one of the most amazing stories in the world. Our story is one of the most amazing stories in the world. We've been stripped of everything, yet we have survived.
Well, it's true, Cartrell. They don't have to beat our doors to get that. They can buy us out with that now, or either they can take it from us, especially when you made reference to our land and our ownership in our own spot. They can either take it away from you, they take it away the music, and Elvis Presley was singing songs they were singing on Beale Street, made a bundle out of it. They could regulate it where they can use you, abuse you, and cash you to the side. Football players, basketball players, they've used and they've cast them aside. I've heard some been on corners begging for money and so on and so forth. And we excel, but they don't have to beat the door down to get to us. They can either buy us out or either Cartrell, they can take it. One of the two. All right. Let's get started. Turn to chapter 45 of Bereshit. And as we were seeing leading up to this chapter, Joseph is berating his brothers about the thievery of his goblet, which alleged thievery because it is good. And he could see the brothers' response when he went in, sent his chief steward to fetch them. He didn't send them to fetch, sent them to get the thief. And so it was found out that it was in Benjamin's bag. But if they hadn't changed, these brothers would have kept on boogity down the road. But no, they turned around and said, no, you can't take our brother. No. We ain't having that. Because, you know, we was in the mix of something back in the day with Joseph. You don't know all the details and you don't need to know. But now, it almost broke our daddy's heart. Now, you know, he pays the dotes on Benjamin. He loved that boy. And we can't have none of that. We can't leave him here. Now, and Judah stands up. Look here, I made a surety to my daddy. I told my daddy, there's no way I'm coming back without that boy. Now, here's what you can do. Now, you can take me. You know, take lock me on that. I'll be your servant. But now, let him go. Please let the boy go. You know, his thing was broke. But his thing was broke because they didn't did anything. But this change in the behavior of his brother has impacted Joseph so much. And that's what's leading him to this next chapter. The impact it has upon Joseph. Joseph could no longer control himself before all his, before everybody in presence. He couldn't control himself. He became emotionally overwhelmed and he cried out, "Have everyone withdraw from me." So there was no one else about when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. He revealed his identity. His sobs were so loud that the Egyptian could hear. And so the news reached Pharaoh's place. Everybody came, what's going on? Man, the second in command crying, "Oh, Lord, go tell Pharaoh. Go tell Pharaoh what's going on." They were in a state of dismay then. Joseph, the second in command, outside of Pharaoh on the throne, makes Pharaoh more important than Joseph. What's going on? We ain't never seen Joseph like this. And so they sent a messenger, obviously, to Pharaoh's palace. And Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father well?" But his brother was so stunned, they couldn't answer him. So dumbfounded were they on account of him. They were, "Man, what the hell?" Contrail. I mean, they had to say that, Contrail.
It was like seeing a ghost, It was like seeing a ghost.
And
my man, we thought you were dead. And here it is. You putting us through this trial and tribulation. You are
right.
A brother? What?
Right.
They have
and
nothing
they,
to say.
Yeah, and then they tried to piece it all together, and then they tried to say, "Well, he's second in command under Pharaoh, only the throne is him apart between Pharaoh." And hold on, it's been 20 plus years since we sold his boy to Egypt, and he don't look nothing like he used to look. That 17-year-old, he looked like a middle-aged, prosperous Egyptian who looks somewhat remotely like us. Okay. Okay, that's one of the reasons why they know, because you know Egyptians didn't have beards like we had. The Egyptians didn't wear their beards like the Hebrews wore their beards. The Egyptians wore a little chin thing, and I think that wasn't even real. I think that was just placed up there. But they were mostly clean faces and paint around the eyes and things on their head, scarves on their head. And so he didn't look nothing like this 17-year-old boy. He looked like a 30-something, 40-something-year-old Egyptian man whom looked remotely like we did, okay? Other than
how about this, John Sue?
Now, say that again, Contrail.
So how about this? We already know what Simeon and Levi did for their sister Dina, right?
Right.
They wasn't scared of them Canaanites and Shechemites, was they?
No.
Even though their father was like, "Why y'all did that? Now you're going to bring all the Canaanites down upon us." But they wasn't scared of that, was they?
No, they wasn't.
So we see the first time that they had fear is because their brother, their little baby brother, Joseph, is the one that puts fear in them.
Exactly.
He not only made put fear in them, they bowed down to him at least two times.
Exactly.
They ain't never bowed out to nobody in their history. Like
that we read in our study.
Little baby brother Joseph put the fear in them to where they all like twisted.
Yeah.
He had his brothers twisted.
Yeah, he had his brothers twisted. And like pretzel. They were totally confused about everything, country. The word dumbfounded ought to strike a point to you. They were totally confused about everything. Then Joseph said to his brothers, come here, come forward to me. And they were standing back. What the hell? Come up here. Come in. He said, come forward to me. When they came forward, he said, I'm your brother Joseph.
He had to tell him twice.
Yeah, I mean, because they were standing in the back, man. You know how you know you done something wrong, you don't know what's really going on? And so ain't nobody want to come up front. He had to beckon them. You know, I'm pretty sure he was sitting in a little high seat. You know, come here. Come up here. Come forward. Come here. I want to talk to you.
So put yourself in their shoes. You saw your little baby brother.
He didn't tell him that.
Huh? You saw your little baby brother. Told your father while you killed him.
Right.
And now you're staring him in the face. And he's got all this power.
Right.
He got the ability to feed you. He got the ability to kill you or let you live based on his word. You're looking at your little baby brother that you sold. They were so dumbfounded when he said, I am Joseph, your brother.
Right.
It was like, what
the hell? Babe, what's going on? How are we going to sell him? Yeah, he running things. I can hear Judah and Reuben and Gad ask us, man, what's going on? He's trying to play tricks on us, homie. They stayed way back, they ain't coming for it. They in fear and trepidation. Little Benjamin, he just looking at his brother. I was saying, I was a little bitty boy. He kind of looked like my brother. But the other brother, they scared like hell. Little Benjamin kind of elated, I suspect. Man, that's my brother, man. That's my big brother. What's up, Joe? What's up, baby? This is little big Benjamin. What's up with you? Shut up, Benjamin. Shut up, man. Well, they trying to play tricks on us, homie. But I'm pretty sure I suspect Benjamin's somewhat elated over the matter.
And he was getting all the blessings from Joseph. This is my little baby brother. I'm gonna hit him off with everything, more than what I hit y'all off with. I'm hitting my little baby brother off with.
So he's got I'm pretty sure I
y'all better be looking out for him.
Right. I suspect he was somewhat elated over the what was transpiring at the time.
Because he wasn't involved in the guilt trip that they was going through. Because he had nothing to do with it.
And Joseph didn't even know what had happened. Benjamin didn't even know what they did. The revelation is about to come to Benjamin right now. What they did to Joseph. Because he said
Benjamin didn't know Joseph. That's the problem.
Right.
So he living amongst his brothers, and he ain't even know he got a big brother.
Right.
And then he meets him with all his power and might and ability to subjugate his other brothers.
Right.
Like, this is my brother right here.
But you know,
tell me about him.
we have to come to the belief, Cartrell, that his father told Benjamin about his brother.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and everybody probably talked about him, not as much as the father did, about your brother. Your brother, you know, he was killed by a wild beast. He was Joe. You know, I love that boy. You know, I love you like I love your brother. Yeah, daddy, love you too. He said, come hither. He said, I'm your brother Joseph, he whom you sold into Egypt. You know, that didn't make matters worse. That didn't make matters better. But he said, now, hold on, wait just a minute. Don't be distressed or reproach yourselves because you sold me hither. He said, hey, look at this ain't what this all about. Don't get upset. Don't get it twisted. Because you sold me hither. Because you know why? I've come to the realization that it was to save life that Yah sent me ahead of you. I came to some conclusion. That's the reason why. You thought you was doing something wrong, but when it came out, you were doing just what Yah wanted you to do. Now, it is now 2 years that there has been a famine in the land, and there's still 5 years to come, which there should be no year from tilling. So Yah had sent me ahead of you to ensure your survival on earth and to save your lives in an extraordinary deliverance. Man, it was extraordinary. So it was not you who sent me here, but Yah. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh. Pharaoh looks on me like I'm his father, Lord of all his household, and ruler over the whole land of Mizraim. Now, hurry back to my father and say to him, thus said your son, Joseph, Yah has made me Lord over all Mizraim. Come down to me without delay. You will dwell in the region of Goshen, where you will be near me, you, your children, and your grandchildren, your flocks and herds, all that is yours. There I will provide for you. I'm going to look after you. For there are yet 5 years of famine to come, that you and your household and all that is yours may not suffer want. You ain't going to suffer for nothing. And that's how the attitude we ought to have with one another.
So imagine that news going back to Jacob.
Man, it's unimaginable.
Like, what you talking about, Willis?
Yeah.
Joseph is what?
Hold on. Wait. Because he confused now. Hold on. You mean to tell me y'all bringing this to me? The very y'all that had told me he was killed by a bee. You mean them y'all? And you mean to tell me my son is alive all these years? Come on now. What kind of game y'all playing with me? And they disposed their cards to daddy, what they did eventually. But you can see for yourselves, and my brother Benjamin for himself, he selected Benjamin out for special treatment, and Benjamin himself, that indeed I who am speaking to you, and you must tell my father everything about my high station in Mizraim and all that you have seen, and bring my father here with all speed. Don't delay, don't hesitate, no reservate. With that, he embraced his brother Benjamin first around the neck and wept. Benjamin wept on his neck. He kissed all his brothers, sign of forgiveness and reconciliation, and wept upon them. Only then were his brothers able to see. They were still speechless. All this time, when he was talking, when he was kissing, Benjamin kissed, they crying on each other and sobbing. And then he kissed each of them and cried with each of them. And ain't nobody said a word. They just dumbfounded. What? Man, we thought he was going to kill her. He want us to come live with him. Yeah, we thought we were dead. And he want us to come live, and he forgave us. Man, they told it in shock. Because that's the way we should be. That's culture. That's culture you can believe in. That's culture you can die for. That's culture. Forgiveness of our brothers and sisters. He kissed all of his brothers and wept upon them. Only then were his brothers able to talk to him. The news reached, had all the news was going on during that time transition. It finally reached Pharaoh's place. And the news was, Joseph's brothers has come. And Pharaoh and his courier was pleased. And the Pharaoh said to Joseph, this is what I want you to tell your family. said to your brothers, do as follows. Load up your beast and go at once to the land of Canaan. Take your father and your household and come to me. I will give you the best of the land of Mizraim, and you shall live off the fat of the land. And you are bidden to do as follows, to add. Take from the land of Mizraim wagons for your children and your wives, and bring your father here. And never mind, you ain't got to bring your, just pick up the pieces. You ain't got, never mind your belongings. For the best of the land of the Mizraim shall be yours. You ain't got to worry about no tents or none of that. You just get to getting. Just come on now. The sons of Israel did so. Joseph gave them. Go ahead.
The Hamites wasn't so bad, was they?
No, they were pretty nice fellows at right then. But people do change.
Right, right then.
Right then. But people have a way of changing.
They sure do. But we got to give this Pharaoh credit because he gave all control to Joseph.
Right.
And he did whatever he could do for his man Joseph, who saved his people.
Right. And saved his people, saved his land, saved his throne.
You're talking about the Hamites.
Yeah, and a lot.
He saved them.
He saved them. And, you know, it's believed that this Pharaoh was one of the Ramses. But because if you don't know what, there were 11 Ramses. It is said there were 11 Ramses in Mizraim. And it said this Pharaoh was a Ramses too. But, you know, if you got 11 Ramses, and this is one of them, and they've been the first one, how many centuries went by before they forgot their love for our people?
Wasn't too many.
It wasn't too many. It didn't take long, did it?
Nope. Yeah, it didn't. It came too powerful, too fast for them.
Yeah, yeah. And that's one of the things that induced them to take a hatred for our people. And he says, and never mind your belongings, for the best of the land of Mizraim shall be yours. Whatever we got, you got. Mikasa, Sukasa. The sons of Israel did.
He didn't just say that. He said the best of the land. The best.
Exactly.
Not anywhere, but the
best. The best. Yep. And Joseph gave them wagons as Pharaoh had commanded. He supplied them with provisions for the journey. To each of them, moreover, he gave a change of clothing. But to Benjamin, he gave 300 pieces of silver, several changes of clothing. He's single. He's singing his baby brother out there. That's my boy. He gave him some money and several changes of clothing. He loved his brother, his baby brother. And to his father, he sent the following. He sent 10 asses laden with the best of the Mizraim. 10 she asses laden with grain, bread, provisions for his father on the journey. He sent the best, not the rest. As he sent his brothers off on their way, he told them, do not be quarrelsome on the way, because I know I gave y'all a lot to be quarrelsome about. I know y'all probably going to stop somewhere and get to arguing and whatnot about what all done transpired. But don't be doing none of that. You just go on to daddy now. Don't stop now. Go on to daddy. Don't be quarrelsome on the way. And they went up from Mizraim and came to their father, Yaqub, in the land of Canaan. And they told him, I'm pretty doing some trepidation. Joseph is still alive. Yes, he is a ruler over the whole land of Mizraim. And Yaqub's heart went numb. What a cocktail? What you said, Willie? Me. Hold on, wait a minute. Y'all mean to tell me my son, the very son that y'all said was killed by a beast, is ruling Mizraim? Somebody is lying. Okay? Y'all had to clear this matter up. Because this ain't going to slide like that. Y'all had to tell me something. Now, how he's dead and he ruling misery.
It's got your LC.
I guess he felt like he was on a what they call that ride? Roller coaster
merry-go-round.
The roller coaster ride before that was invented.
I think it was the Whippin' Pippin they had in Memphis at one time, which they sold.
Or the King the Car. The Coda Car. With Great Adventure.
Yeah, he would go, no, what is they talking about? Man, what is y'all talking about, sons? Reuben, what are you talking about? Okay.
And convince them Joseph is dead. Now you telling me he's alive?
Somebody
running Egypt.
Somebody lied. And he running Egypt. For real? For real? Why he was dead then back then?
Somebody told a lie.
Somebody lied. And you know that common sense would tell y'all that they had to tell their fathers the truth about that situation. Then they went from Egypt to their father, Jacob, in the land of Canaan. They told him, Joseph is still alive. Yes, he's the ruler over the whole land of misery. And Jacob hard wouldn't know, for he did not believe him. Because y'all done told me one thing, y'all come back telling me another. And when they recounted all Joseph had said to them, and part they played, why he there, I told they had to tell everything, and that he had forgave him. Well, Poppy, Joseph forgive us, you know, you got to forgive us too. And when he saw the wagon that Joseph had sent to transport him, the spirit of their father, Yaakov, revived. Whoa, my boy! Woo, my boy Joseph, eh? My boy said all this for real. The wagon. Oh, Lord. I can't wait till I see that boy. My boy's, look at this. Look at these fat food, easy clothes. Look at his food. Oh, dates and whatnot. Oh, man, my boy. You can imagine the joy. Yaakov said he was revived. Revived.
So, it wasn't their words that convinced him, right?
It was everything that was sent by Joseph.
It was what he saw, right?
He didn't have enough money. Yeah.
Like, dang.
Right.
I ain't saying with that much money to bring back this amount.
Ain't no way you could have bought that. You got 10 male goats, you got 10 female goats, and they laden with. And then Benjamin got 7 set of rags, man. Benjamin and Fred, my boy Fred. Then he got 300 pieces of silver, and y'all got some change of clothes? No. Come on now. Come on now. Praise Yah. Oh, you just like little Gregory said, praise Yah. I know he felt related.
You know, Jacob was dancing in his tent, right?
Man, what you said? They had a party that night.
He said, it says Jacob was revived.
Right.
The man jumped out of his sick bed and started doing the boogaloo.
Yeah, he was laying down all dejected, rejected, and erected.
He
was thinking.
He started breakdancing when he heard that news, son.
And they looked at the daddy. Man, old man got, man, for real. Man, daddy to come back, man. He was worried about little Benjamin here. Daddy feeling good like he knew he would. Dancing like Jane Brown. I feel good. So good. So nice. My boy Jensen back. Yeah. I'm sure he was elated over that situation, Cadre.
You can't even imagine.
I'm feeling good just reading it. I'm feeling good for Yaakov. I mean, I'm feeling it. If I feel it, imagine what he was feeling. If you're feeling it, imagine what Yaakov was feeling. We're just feeling an inkling of what that father was feeling. He got both his favorite boys back. He laid down with all kind of goodies and whatnot. Even to go to a new spot to be taken care of where ain't no famine. To his son who thought was dead, now he alive. Oh, man. Oh, happy days.
Not only is he alive, he running stuff in Egypt.
He running stuff. He the man. My son the man.
Imagine your son running stuff in America. You're like, what? What the hell?
Yeah.
You doing what?
I was a yay, for real. I'd be like that too, for real. Yeah. Dad has sent you all this stuff, said he wants you to come. I said, what did he say? He didn't send 10 cargo trucks of stuff, and he gave the other boy 300 certificates of money. We don't even know what it is, but he gave them. And then he got some fresh clothes. He gave us some fresh clothes, and he told us, for you to come over, Dad. He going to take care. He going to give you a good spot. You ain't got to worry about nothing. He said, leave them old rags you got. I got you, Daddy. I got you. Say no more. Dad is, I feel good, Cottrell.
And who was treating us like that? Was it the universal white racist supremacists, or was it the Hamites?
The Hamites were treating us
fabulously. So we run around talking about we don't like Hamites. You better back up and slow down and look at history, son. Because the Hamites, they treated us very well.
Exactly. Because truth be told, they're family anyway. Truth be told,
there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. They're our cousins.
They're family. And when they were exactly. And he saw the wagon that Joseph had sent to transport him. The spirit of the father Yaakov revived. I feel good. Enough said, Israel. My boy, my son Joseph is still alive. I must go and see him right before I die. Before I die, I got to get him. Come on now. Y'all get all this stuff together. We ain't got to even stop. Y'all ready to roll? Get the women together. Get the little children together. Right now. We finna roll, baby.
We should have left yesterday.
Look here. I'm feeling so good about Yaakov. Aren't y'all feeling? See, that's culture. That's culture. What the Hamites did with us, and that was culture. What Joseph did in forgiveness of his brothers, showed him love. You know, that's culture. Not shooting somebody in drive-bys and selling drugs and prostituting our women and talking about ourselves and talking about other folk. Now, that's culture. That's the kind of person you would try to want to emulate. Somebody like Joseph. Somebody like Yaakov. Sometimes like his brother, Yehuda, and the rest of them, who didn't leave their brother behind. So, no, we can't leave their brother behind now. Come on now. I can't do that. I can't. Please. Then take me. Take me. Let the boy go. See, that's class. That's class.
And all right. You brought up an important point, because they changed from their ways.
Exactly.
They love their little baby brother more than they love Joseph, because they didn't do to Benjamin what they did to Joseph, right?
Exactly.
But the fact that Joseph prospered, got a position of power, what did he do with it?
He used it constructively.
To do
what? He didn't try to take advantage and use it to belittle and hurt people in his family.
Nor did he live his family out there.
Right.
He blessed his family first. The
he
first
used
thing. Where's my father? Bring him here. I'm going
to
hook y'all up.
Right.
And we all going to be blessed.
Exactly. He used his position.
That's culture right there.
That's
not
culture.
That you prosper, you got power, and you do you, I got mine, you do you.
Yeah.
You try to get it. I got mine. Nah.
Exactly.
Joseph got his.
Y'all got y'all.
He reached back for his brothers and said, I'm going to bless y'all too.
Right. Exactly.
So we got people amongst our nation. They make it. They billionaires. They don't reach back.
No.
They helping other people.
Unfortunately, they don't. They help everybody but themselves and each other. Well, let us continue on our study, shall we? Will you please, fellow students and adventurers, voyagers, and travelers, 22nd chapter of Job, Elizabeth is accusing, flatfoot accusing him of doing something wrong. he was sugarcoating that. We've been talking around this Job. We've been beating around the bushes with you. Now, we finna give you a flat-out attack, okay? We've been beating around the bushes with you, but now we're finna bring all guns to bear on you right now. We sick of playing with you. You did something wrong.
So, in essence, Eliphaz didn't hear anything that Job had to say in the last chapter.
And wasn't trying to hear it, neither.
Wasn't trying to hear it.
Job said, the Most High make people eyes blind and ears deaf to hear the truth.
And then he said, we all go to the same place. The worms eat your body, my body, everybody's body.
Ain't nobody.
Why don't y'all condemn the wicked that
right.
don't get punished at all? Y'all
right.
think because I'm in my position that I'm wicked. But you
right.
look at wicked people, and they live in large, and they
right.
not going through what I'm going through, but they wicked, and you know they wicked. How can you come back after he argued that argument in the last
but
chapter?
They had a good argument, Cartrio. They had
mm-hmm.
a baseline argument. They had a baseline argument when it comes to the wicked. But when it comes to the Most High, when it comes to us, those are not wicked. And sometimes, even with the wicked, even the baseline is off. Yes, they had a baseline. This is how the Most High deal with wickedness. But that baseline can be askew if the Most High becomes involved with the situation. If the investigatory angel becomes involved and bring a charge, they didn't got it good because you got them covered. If you didn't have them covered, he'd be a whole nother thing. She'd be a whole nother thing. You know, all right? Give them a test. Put them through a little test. But like I said, they had a baseline argument, Cartrill. But
so Joe broke it down to them. He
right.
broke it down to them.
Right.
He said, we all going to the same place. You not
exactly.
the judge. The Most High is the judge.
Exactly. Bottom
that was
line.
His argument.
Bottom
and they
line.
Ain't want to hear that. No, we going to judge
yeah.
you anyway. We going to
exactly.
judge you anyway.
Exactly.
In spite of what you're saying, Joe, we judging you anyway. And like I said yesterday, they was dead wrong. You trying to
yeah.
judge the man. You trying to tell you, I ain't do nothing. And
right.
you don't really know what's going
on
between me and Yah. Y'all need
right.
to back off and really
right.
try to find out the fundamentals of what was really going on because
right.
I have done no wickedness and my complaint
right.
is not with man, but it's with mm-hmm. the Most High.
Exactly.
So you see wicked people living large and they go to their graves without, you know, no stress or no, you know, judgment from Yah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
We're all going to the same place. And for y'all to be judging me, y'all need to
right.
check yourself. So
well,
rather than them checking themselves, they're going to
yeah.
pull more on
yeah.
on Joe.
They bring all guns to bear on him, Cartrill. They said, we don't want
to
hear nothing.
Help him.
Right. Our baseline argument is solid. You wicked. You wicked, 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 wicked. We bringing all guns to bear on you. We don't care. We ain't hearing nothing of what you talking about. And some of us are just like that now, Cartrill. They don't hear nothing some of us talk about. We can say all day long, Cartrill and Yom Suk, we're innocent. We ain't did nothing. Y'all wicked. The Most High ain't sent you here to judge Cartrill and me. You need to be working on yourself. Okay? That's what you need to be working on. Don't be trying to hear judge Cartrill and Yom Suk, okay? Now, if you ain't got no evidence what you talking about, you need to keep your mouth off us. Anyone else, as far as that concerned? Most High ain't sent you here to judge nobody. And these brothers are going to find this out. The Most High is the judge. All right, Cartrill. Fellow students and fellow travelers, put your study cap on. Lucifer, the Tenemite, answered and said, pompous like I suspect, can a man profitable to Yah? Though he who is wise may be profitable to himself, is it any pleasure to the Almighty that you are righteous? They're throwing questions at him. Or is it gain to him that make your ways blameless? Is it going to be profitable to him in any kind of way? Is it because of your fear of him that he corrects you and enter into a judgment with you? is not your wickedness, your great, and your iniquity without end, obviously, because look at your circumstances. For obviously, you have taken pledges from brothers for no reason and stripped the naked of the clothing. You have not given weary water to drink, and you have withheld bread from the hungry. Just lying. Man, they lying on his man. They just making up stuff on his man. That's what they'll do, Cottrell. That's what they'll do, listeners. They'll make up stuff on you. But the mighty man possessed the land. And the honorable, if you were honorable, dwell in it. If you were mighty and honorable, dwell in it. But you have sent widows away empty. In the strength of the fathers, the orphans were crushed before you. And that's the reason why you're in this predicament. Therefore, snares are around you, Job. And sudden fear troubles you, Job. Or darkness so that you cannot see. And an abundance of water covers you, Job. Troubles, troubles, troubles. Is not Yah in the height of heaven? And sees the highest stars, how lofty they are? And you said, what does Yah know? He didn't say that. Can he judge through the deep darkness? Can he see what I'm doing? Through clouds over him so that he cannot see? And he walks above the circle of heaven. Will you keep the old way, what you've been doing? Which wicked men have trod before, who were cut down before that time, whose foundation was swept away by a flood?
Listen, that's their reference, mm-hmm. the flood. Noah's
right.
ark, when men were wicked,
exactly.
and God destroyed the earth with the flood.
Exactly.
That's their reference of good and evil, not
exactly.
the Torah, not the laws of Moses. Huh?
That's the baseline. That's the baseline argument.
So there was good and evil in the earth where Yah judged way before Moses gave the children of Israel by the hand of Yah, the Torah.
Exactly.
So this is what they're arguing about, that,
mm-hmm.
you know, Yah's going to judge you whether you are right or wrong in the
exactly.
earth, whether you have the laws of Moses or not. This is way
exactly.
before the laws of Moses came into effect.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And they go on to reiterate what Cottrell has pointed out to you. And they said, those men and women back there, they said to Yah, depart from us. What can the Almighty do to them? Yet he filled their houses with good things at that time. But the counsel of the wicked is far from me. The righteous see it. What's going to happen to them? If you're righteous and are glad, the innocent laugh at them like we're laughing at you. Surely our adversaries are cut down. And you are adversaries, Joe. And the fire consumes their remnant. Now, you need to get some get right, Joe. Now, you need to acquaint yourself with him, Yah, and be at peace. Thereby good will come to you if you get yourself right with Yah. Please receive instruction from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart, yo. If you return to the Almighty, you will be built back up. You will remove iniquity far from your tents. All what's happening. Your flocks gone. Your children are dead. You got boils from the top of your head to your feet, to the bottom of your feet. Will remove far from your tents. Then you will lay your gold in the dust. The gold of Ophir among the stones of the brooks. Yes, the Almighty will be your gold. That will be your gold, your inheritance. Your precious silver. And then you will have your delight in the Almighty. Lift up your face to Yah, Job. You will make your prayer to him. He will hear you, and you will pay your vows. He will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you. So light will shine on your ways. And when they cast you down, and you said, exaltation will come, because you trust in Yah. Then he will save the humble person. He will deliver one who is, he will even deliver one who is not innocent, one who has not lived the innocent life in totality. Yes, he will be delivered by the purity of his hands after he made amends and changed their ways. Man, they indicted Job. They lied on Job. They made up stuff on Job. And then they had the nerve to tell him, you need to make it right with Yah. We know what you did. You didn't feed the widow women. You took pledge of the folks. Stripped them of their hands. You didn't take care of the orphans. You didn't take care of folks who wanted to drink of water. That's what you did, although we didn't see it. But we suspect you did it. And so you see why we suspect you did. This is our baseline argument, Job. Because we know how the Most High treated those in the days of Noah who didn't listen to him, whose counsel was the counsel of wicked. So the same thing happened to them, same thing happened to you. That's why your children all gone. That's why your flocks all gone. That's why your wife talking crazy to you. That's why you laying in this dirt from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet with boils all over you, crying and lying to yourself. Get it right, Job. Get it right. But in fact, they were the ones who needed to get something right. Job didn't do anything. They weren't sent there to judge Job. Yah judges all. They were sent there to comfort him. And they were piss poor comforters. You want me to say it again? They were piss poor comforters. He really had a pack of enemies than those three, truth be told. And we got them today. Same kind of folk. Contrera, what say you, my brother and friend?
He said it all, my brother.
Okay.
He's dealing with, you know, people that are supposed to be his friends.
Yeah, right.
Some of the things that they're saying are right. But
and then
they flat-footed
Cottrell, on some stuff.
The accusations.
There's a saying that goes, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words would never harm me. And we can see that people's words can do damage.
Exactly. Well, it looked like they was trying to do some damage to him, Cartier.
You try to figure out why. Why are they trying to push him down even further than what they see him at?
Right.
Now, that's what people do. When you're on top, they're your friends. They're loyal and dedicated. But don't lose it all, because you'll find out they're not really your friends. But it's definitely a sobering experience for Job, because in his heart, he knows he's innocent. You know?
Exactly.
And he doesn't know why the Most High did to him what he did to him.
Right.
But there was a specific reason that the Most High knows that Job and his friends are not privy to. And Job has to deal with it until he comes out of it. So
exactly.
It's a blessing to him that he remained strong and loyal and dedicated and didn't give up. Because what his friends are saying, he might as well have given up and, you know, just said, freak it, you know. Curse the Most High.
Because
what they're saying is right. You know, they beat me up. I'm down and out. Ain't no help for me. Y'all's not answering me. I might as well just jump off a building and die.
Exactly.
But he hung in there. Job hung in there.
And you know, that's a lesson for all of us. That's a lesson for all of us, Cartrell. In spite of what people say, and you know your relationship with Yah, just hang in there. Hang in there in spite of what they're saying.
Because if your hands are innocent and you know you've been righteous, don't pay no attention to what, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, we had a saying in the military. When things got real bad in the heat of battle, and things was coming in from every which way but loose, it doesn't matter. Get your mind off that. Because it doesn't mean nothing. Find analysis at the end of it all. The Most High will make the pause. Just keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing your job. It doesn't matter. Whatever's going on around you, because it doesn't mean nothing. Whatever people say about you, it doesn't mean nothing. However they come at you, it doesn't mean nothing, because in the final analysis, the Most High makes the decisions in spite of what people say. Well, Cottrell, my brother and friend, that was a nice study session. As always, I know you have a wonderful song speaking about Yah, and we're all ears waiting.
No question. I just wanted to say in closing off that portion that we're reading about our ancient fathers, and they wasn't innocent. They sold Joseph. They lied to their father, but they changed their ways. So you could be guilty of something, but you change. And that's the important thing, that you make that change, because you're not always innocent, and you have to confess what you've done and make that change. And Yah will give you a chance, because he's merciful. He's gracious. He shows compassion and loving kindness. But you can't be doing what you've been doing and expect Yah to do that for you. You can't repeat the same mistakes over and over again and expect Yah to forgive you. So we see by the example of our ancient fathers that, they sold Joseph, but they realized that they had did something wrong. And they acknowledged their wrong, and they didn't want to repeat the error of their ways. So can't repeat the error of your ways and expect Yah to be merciful and to forgive you. So, yes, Yah is merciful. He will forgive us, but we have to put ourselves on the right path.
All right, then, Cadre. We're waiting on that song. Thank you for that comment.
No doubt. We're going to read the 77th Psalm. Another Psalm of Asaph, the chief musician. And he is expounding on the fact that Yah has redeeming powers. And who does he redeem? He redeems his people. And this is the formula that we need to use to reach the Almighty, the Creator. The 77th Psalm says, I cried out to Elohim with my voice. To Elohim with my voice, and he gave ear to me. Did I read that yesterday?
I think so, Cartrell. Sounds familiar.
Yeah, it does. So we're going to jump to 78.
Okay.
And it's another Psalm of Asaph. And he talks about Yah's mercy, his kindness, even though Israel is rebellious. It says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the word of my mouth. This is Yah speaking. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which ye have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, telling to the generation to come the praises of Yah and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Yaakov and appointed a law in Yisrael, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generations to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children. So every generation is supposed to declare Yah's works based on what he did for our nation, our people. Every generation is supposed to hear and know that Yah is with us, that they may set their hope in Elohim. This is why every generation must know that the Most High is with us, that he delivered us out of the hand of Pharaoh and gave us our old land. That's why we must record these things in the ears and the hearts and the minds of our children and not forget the works of Elohim. Because it's so easy to forget. Have we forgotten the works of Elohim? Yes. Why? Because it hasn't been passed down. Like Yah has told us that the generations to come might know them, the children who will be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children. Our parents have not declared the works of Yah to us, and we have not declared the works of Yah to our children because we don't know. But we're learning now, and we have to relay these things to our children. So I'm so glad that my little brother Gregory is out there learning, because we're doing our job in letting little Gregory, the next generation, know what the Elohim will do for us and our people. And may not be like their fathers. Are we like our fathers, Brother Yom Suf?
Yeah, we certainly are. I think much worse.
And he says, your fathers were a stubborn and rebellious generation. Are we acting the same way? Are we stubborn and rebellious?
We certainly are.
A generation that did not set their hearts aright. Are we the same type of generation?
We certainly are.
And whose spirit was not faithful to Elohim. Are we the same type of generation?
We certainly are.
And it says that we may not be like our fathers. We don't want to be like our fathers. A stubborn, rebellious generation that did not set their hearts aright. We're trying to do the reverse. We're trying to do the opposite. We don't want to be stubborn. We don't want to be rebellious. We want to set our hearts right with the Most High, right? And we want to be faithful to Elohim. Faithfulness to Elohim is the real key. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battles. So we think our 38s and our, you know, AK-47s is a thing that's going to protect us. But Mosiah said, we will be turned back in a day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of Elohim, which we still don't today. They refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. Have our people forgotten Yah's works and the wonders he has shown us? We're talking about Jesus. What works did Jesus do, and what wonders did Jesus show us compared to what works Yah did for us and the wonders that he showed us? Marvelous things that he did in their sight of their fathers. What marvelous things? In the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan, he divided the sea and caused it to pass through and made the water stand up like a heap. In the daytime also, he led them by the cloud, and all night with the fire of light, a light of fire. He split the rock in the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance like the depths. He also brought streams out of the rock and caused water to run down like rivers. But they sinned even more against him by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness. And they tested Elohim in their heart by asking for the food of their fancy. Yes, they spoke against Elohim. They said, can Elohim prepare a table in the wilderness? What kind of question is that? After he showed you, he destroyed the Egyptians. And he gave you manna. And he gave us manna for 40 years. Yes, the Most High can prepare a table before us in the wilderness. Behold, he struck the rock, so that the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide for his people? So at every opportunity, we test in the Most High. Can he do this? Can he do that? Can he do this? Can he do that? And all the while, he's showing us what he could do. There was none of our people that were suffering. The Most High gave them food and drink. But their attitude was wrong. Therefore, Elohim heard this and was furious. So a fire was kindled against Jacob. And anger also came against Israel because they did not believe in Elohim. How many of us today believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob?
Not many.
And did not trust in the salvation. How many of us today trust in the salvation of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob?
Not many.
And that's a sad story. Because the story is here. The truth is here. The history is here. And we can read it for ourselves. We're reading it right now. But we are just like our fathers, rebellious, hard-headed, stiff-necked, and we don't believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We believe in the gods of our enemies, that money god especially, right? We believe in that money god. We believe in the money god more than any other god on the planet. Ain't that right, Brother Yamsu? We think money going to solve all our problems. If it ain't the money, it's the politicians that's going to get us money by giving us jobs. Do we know what Yah salvation is, much less trust in it? Yet, he had commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven. He rained down manna on them to eat and gave them the bread of heaven. Men ate angels' food. He sent them food to the full. What kind of food was he eating, Yam Suf, in the wilderness?
They were eating angels' food.
What kind of food?
Angel.
Yeah. I know you had some of that devil's food cake. But we ain't never tasted angel's food in our time, have we?
Exactly.
And the fact that they was eating angel's food, they still was complaining. Angel's food, and they were still complaining. And the food was good enough to fill them up. He said men ate angel's food. He sent them food to the full. What more did they need? He caused the east wind to blow in the heavens. And by his power, he brought in the south wind. He also rained meat on them like dust, feathered fowl like the sands of the sea. So we're talking about the quail. So we eating this wafer. We eating this manna. We want some meat. And when they asked for meat, the Most High gave them meat. They were not deprived of their cravings. Anything they wanted, they got in the wilderness where no man dwelt for 40 years. But while their food was still in their mouth, the wrath of Elohim came against them and slew the stoutest of them and struck down the choices of men. Why did he do that? Because they were beasting. They had more than enough, and they became gluttonous. In spite of this, they still sinned and did not believe in his wondrous works. How many of us believe in the wondrous works of Yah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob?
Not many.
Therefore, the days he consumed in futility and their years in fear. How many of us are living in fear now, Yah?
All of us.
How many of our lives are consumed in futility?
All of us.
And you know why that is? Because we sin against Yah. And we don't believe in his wondrous works. That's why we are consumed in futility and we live our years in fear because we don't know the old way. When he slew them, then they sought him and they returned and sought earnestly for Elohim. So when the real pressure comes upon us and we start dying in the street, that's when we turn to God. Ain't that a little bit too late? When you start dying, then you're going to turn to God. You're going to do what you want to do the whole time. And then when crisis hits you, you're going to say, oh, God, help me. Then they remember that Elohim was their rock. Who's our rock?
Elohim.
1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
I don't think so.
Joe Biden, he going to be the rock.
No, I don't think so.
And the Most High God, their Redeemer. Who's our Redeemer?
The Most High.
Most High God is our Redeemer. He's the one that's going to save us. Nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouth, and they lied to him with their tongue, for their heart was not steadfast with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. And we are all guilty of that today. We're not steadfast in Yah because we didn't even know him, nor are we faithful in his covenant. We're not faithful in his covenant because we didn't even know his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity. And in spite of us not being steadfast to him or being faithful to his covenant, his compassion forgives us in spite of that. And he doesn't destroy us. It says he did not destroy them. Yes, many a time he turned away his anger and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered, what did he remember? That they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. So what are we? We think we all that. Most I said he remember, oh, they just flesh and a breath that just passes away and does not come again. How often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Yes, again and again they tempted Elohim and limited the Holy One of Israel. Yeah, we put our limits on God. We think that Yah can't do certain things. We don't know his full power. So we limit the Holy One of Israel. And guess what, Yom Suf?
What's that, my brother?
There's no limits on what Yah can do. Nothing is impossible for him.
Truth be told.
We put limits on him.
That's our problem.
Just again and again. Huh?
That's our problem. We put limits. Just like those men were trying to put limits on Yah. Those so-called three fair weather friends in accordance to Job. They were trying to put limits on Yah.
They trying to frame Yah according to how they think Yah should be.
Exactly.
And Yah's not man. Yah's unlimited.
Yeah, according to their baseline argument, they were trying to frame Yah. Then they were trying to indict Job because of that, their own thinking. And the Most High said, my thinking is not like your thinking. My ways are not like your ways. Okay, you can't think for me. That's our problem.
And Christianity tries to limit God because they say that the Most High God came down in the form of a man. Did Jesus have to go to the bathroom?
I suppose so, Cottrell.
Did Jesus have to sleep?
I suppose he did.
Did Jesus have to eat?
I know he did.
Did Jesus have a birthday?
I'm certain they celebrated. I don't know if that was said today, but that's the day they celebrate.
Did Jesus die? Did he have a death date?
He certainly did.
So you trying to put human limits on God.
But why would y'all
Most High God don't have no birthday.
Right.
The Most High God lives forever and ever. He ain't going to die. He hasn't died. He's not dead. He don't need to eat, sleep, or drink. But we try to put the limits on him as if he's a man.
Right.
And limited the Holy One of Israel. You tempted Elohim and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power. His power is beyond man's power, right?
Well, Cottrell, here's the deal. If you can look at these people, the carriers of this so-called good news, and look at how they act 2,000 years later, and you mean you're going to trust these folks? These folks can't get voting right for you. And you going to say they are the carriers of Yah for you? And these folks can't do voting right for you. Okay? Come on now. Just stop it. Go ahead, Cartier. My apologies.
So we are people that don't remember the power of Yah. We only remember that we came over here on slave ships. So we cut off from our past. We don't remember, in fact, that the creator of the universe came down to earth on our behalf because we cried out because we were in bondage in Egypt and he delivered us. So we don't remember his power the day
exactly.
He redeemed them from the enemy.
Exactly.
And he worked his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan, turned their rivers into blood and their streams that they could not drink. He sent swarms of flies among them, which they devoured them, and frogs, which destroyed them. He also gave their crops to the caterpillars and their labor to the locusts. So who controls those things? The locust, the caterpillar, and the swarms of flies. Who controls those things?
But you know, Cadre, we still got that same Stockholm syndrome. This ain't the first time we had it.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have Stockholm syndrome before, okay? Because we was already running back to Mezzarine. And we the same applies to this country here. We're the same way for some of us.
So it's the Most High who stirs up the whirlwind, who turns their rivers into pools of blood and their streams that they can't drink. He's the one that sends swarms of flies, which devour them, and frogs, which destroyed them, and caterpillars and locusts. He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamore trees with frost. Who controls those things?
The Most High.
They say it's an act of God, right? When those things hit mankind, it's an act of God. He also gave the cattle to the hail. You ever seen hail the size of a softball?
I've seen some big hails. I've seen big hails. They can tear up a roof. They can tear up a house. They can tear up a car. And you stand out there, they'll tear your behind up too.
They'll kill you. Hail will kill you. Hail will kill you. They'll destroy your vine. Huh?
Contrary, imagine a rock like that coming from the heavens all the way with that speed. It's going to knock one of them and hit you.
A-Rock. But you know, hail don't travel by itself. Hail got company, bro.
Right. One of them knock you out, the rest of them, man, if they find your body, you're going to look like Muhammad Ali beat you up all day long.
Yeah, and if you don't find no shelter, it's going to beat you down.
Break your arms, your skull.
You ain't got a chance.
You ain't got a chance. You better get up under something.
So who controls those things?
The Most High.
Mankind?
Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
He controls the caterpillar. He controls the locust. He controls the flogs. He controls the fly. He can turn rivers into blood. Who does that? We see animals beaching up, right? Whales and fish and all kind of fish life beaching up. Who does that?
He does. He controls pandemics. COVID-19. That's getting worse.
He goes the angel of death, running rampant.
Right.
He ain't got no restraints. Most High let the angel of death loose, son. They want to call it COVID-19, but he's the angel of death. He killing.
I mean, I just see so many people dying, and these so-called leaders all over this universe act like they crazy, man.
And how is it killing you? It's taking your breath away, ain't it?
Right, it's taking your breath.
Most High give you the breath, and Most High does what? So he got the angel of death taking away people's breath. Ock, they can't even breathe.
I have a
you
lot
know why
of
they
people
can't breathe, Ock? You know why they can't breathe?
Why is that?
Because the police officers putting their knees in brothers' necks.
Exactly.
To the point that they can't breathe.
Right. And so I guess the Most High says, oh, you taking their breath away? Let me take a whole lot of y'all breath away.
There you go.
Think it's funny? You think you're running something? You think you'll keep on doing it? You think you're going to go back to 1965, 19? No, you ain't going back. You coming to me, baby. You ain't going to go back. Let's make America great again. No, you ain't doing none of that. You coming to me, baby. You ain't going back. You coming forth.
And all these people that supporting this lunatic in the White House, they got no fear of the angel of death, do they?
They're crazy.
they got no fear of the angel of death.
But you know what, Contra, in our studies and fellow students, and our study, it's clear to me. I'm not confused. Because the Most High said, he takes their eyesight and he takes their hearing. He takes their understanding. And actually, they're led as sheep to slaughter in a net.
Oh, yeah.
So they think they're invincible. Right. They think they're invincible. Madness. Madness.
So let me finish this out.
Okay.
So he also give up their cattle to the hail and their flock to fiery lightning. We seen that out in California, right? Most High strike lightning. He's setting all them trees on fire, ain't he?
Exactly.
And that homestead living that they live in with their cattle and their sheep and their herd, Most High burning it up, ain't he?
Exactly.
He cast on them the fierceness of his anger, wrath, indignation, and trouble. By sending angels of destruction among them. We don't see the angels of destruction, do we?
Yeah, but
believe me, they amongst us.
That don't mean there ain't any evidence that they're here.
That's right. So you're looking for the UFOs and extraterrestrials, but you watch the planet burn. You watch the hell winds and the fires and the storms that's coming to destroy. Most of sends his host out to just do all the things that's going on. He made a path for his anger. He did not spare their soul from death, but gave their life over to the plague. Oh, is that COVID-19?
Exactly.
Yah destroyed all the firstborn of Egypt, the first of their strength in the tents of Ham. Who are the Egyptians? Well, I tell you, the Hamites. Right?
Exactly.
Egyptians are Hamites. Although they got Yul Brynner playing the role of Pharaoh, he from Russia. He ain't no Hamite. He's a Japhite. He's from Japhet. But we see here, the Most High makes clear who the Egyptians are. He said, and destroyed all the firstborn of Egypt. Who's the firstborn of Egypt? It says the first of their strength. Who's the firstborn of Egypt? Their strength. And where they live? In the tents of Ham. But he made his own people go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. How did the Most High describing us? Not like lions, but like sheep.
Exactly.
Our people don't want to be described as sheep. No, we lions, man. We the Lion of Judah. No, Yah said you like sheep.
Exactly.
And he led them on safely so that they did not fear, but the sea overwhelmed the enemy, and he brought them to his holy border. This mountain, which his right hand had acquired. He also drove out nations before them, allotted them an inheritance by survey, and made the tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents. Yet they tested and provoked the Most High God and did not keep his testimonies, but turned back and acted unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow, for they provoked him to anger with their high places and moved into jealousy with their carved images. Are we still moving, Yah, to anger and jealousy with our carved images?
Mm-hmm.
When Elohim heard this, he was furious and greatly abhorred Israel. Is that why we have so much trouble in the hood? Because we still got these carved images that we worship?
I suspect.
The tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent he had placed among men, and delivered his strength into captivity. Oh, is that where we at now? Yah delivered his strength into captivity? Is the Jewish man in captivity?
No.
I guess that's not his strength. Who's in captivity, Yah?
We are.
The strength of Yah is delivered into captivity. That's what we just read. And his glory into the enemy's hand. Yah's what? We are Yah's glory? And we in the enemy's hand? Oh, Lord. They must be celebrating, aren't they? He also gave his people over to the sword and was furious with his inheritance. Fire consumed their young men. Yeah, they're still firing on us, aren't they? They're still firing on our young men, aren't they?
Exactly. They're
being consumed. And their maidens were not given marriage. Is that our problem today? Sisters looking for a good brother to marry?
Oh, they're going for any nation, man.
They're going for any nation. Why? Because fire consumed their young men, and their maidens were not given in marriage. Because all our brothers are in jail or being shot down, right?
Yeah. I see a lot of sisters on TikTok with the other nation husbands.
It's so sad. It's so hurtful, ain't it, when you see it?
Yeah, just smiling. Things that they doing with these other nations. They wouldn't
right.
even
they're so happy.
When they become their own brothers. The affection that they show men of other nations, it's saddening, Dr.
And the same is true for brothers that marry women of other nations, ain't it?
Right.
It's sad to see it, and I'm sure it's so hurtful to sisters to see a big, strong brother that could be their husband.
Right.
He's married to a foreign nation.
Exactly. But you know what? Truth be told, Cartrell, considering how the way we treat each other, it's understandable.
Well, the Most High put us in this dilemma, in this conundrum, and he always gives us an antidote.
Exactly.
He's describing where we're at now. He says they're priests fell by the sword. We don't have no priests. We got people calling themselves priests, but they're not priests.
Right.
And their widows made no lamentation. Then Yah awoke from his sleep. Yah awoke as from sleep, like a mighty man who shouts because of wine. And he beat back his enemy and put them to a perpetual reproach, which means that Yah is going to come up and fight for us one day when we get it right.
Exactly.
Moreover, he rejected the son of Joseph and did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. And he built his sanctuary like the heights, like the earth, which he established forever. He also chose King David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes that had young, he brought him to shepherd Yaakov's people and Yisrael, his inheritance. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hand. So you ain't got to be no prominent brother or sister for the Most High to put you at the top. We know the humble beginnings of our ancient king, King David. He was a shepherd. He was the youngest of seven brothers. But the Most High saw in him the wherewithal and the ability not only to lead sheep, but to lead the whole nation as a whole because of the character that he had within his heart and within his soul. So we admire King David and the humble beginnings that he came from, and the fact that he was able to communicate with our ancient, our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in the way that he did, in order to be the leader of the nation, where he showed what it is to be a leader.
All right. No, contrary, that was really intense. That was really investigatory.
No doubt.
And, as Cartrell said, the solution is in the message. So all thing we have to do is plan a solution. Stop leading to your own understanding. Stop running around on training wheels, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting difference of taking training wheels off. And start trusting in the Most High. No, not 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. That's not the Most High. You have to trust in the Most High. And you have to cry out to the Most High. You got to let him know. Be honest about it. Whatever's holding you back, whatever's snaring you, be honest about it. Keep it real, as we said on this show. And apply it to your lives. Cartrell, my brother and friend, what's your closing remarks?
So much wisdom is being poured out in the pages that we're reading. My prayer is that we latch on to the wisdom that's there because we've been indoctrinated with Western understanding, and we tend to lean for our solution on the way other people solve their problems. But we can't solve our problems the way other people solve their problems. And the Most High is showing us the way in order to solve our problems. So I'm hoping that, you know, our people hear these words and take it to heart and begin to apply them, to activate them, so that Yah would stand up and act on our behalf. Because we have a mighty champion, but he's waiting on us to connect with him.
Exactly. And as Cartrell said, and I'm going to lamb back off of him. No, I'm not piggybacking. I'm lamb backing. As far as you being ensnared in something, let me make a suggestion to you. Won't you open your mouth? Subscribe to the Most High. Say you're ensnared in something. And be honest about it. Put it all on the table like King Darwin. And ask for a new thinker. A thinker that loves the Most High with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul,
all of your strength. And that mind has to love your neighbor, as we saw in Joseph with his brothers, as himself. Not just lip service, but in actuality. Where are my brothers? Where are my sisters? Where are our fellow students? Cartrell and I, we're finna get ready to go. We don't know where you're going, but we finna get ready to get out of here. May the Most High bless you. May He direct and order your steps, because His ways are not your ways. It's just that simple. As we found out in Job, His ways are not the way you see things or do things.
You and His thoughts are not your thoughts.
Right. You can't do things the way you want and bring to the Most High and say, hey, it's going to work for you. No, it ain't going to work for you. That's what it ain't going to work for. You got to follow this to the letter, brothers and sisters. That's why we go on these travels with these voyages. That's why we go back in time. Not for you to have a warm, fuzzy feeling. Oh, I feel good. We used to do that. No. Go back into these studies with us to find out what mistakes we made and rectify those mistakes. Turn to the Most High. Pray for yourself. Pray for His nation. Pray for all nations that the Most High will be done, not yours, not Yum Seuss, not Cartrell, but the Most High. All right, Cartrell, you know we're finna go, my brother, because we're having hard times now. But it gets better. It gets better. May the Most High bless you. Love you, Cartrell. Stay up, brother.
You too, Aki. Most High bless you.
Love you too, fellow students and listeners. Love you too, little Gregory, Bree, Pop, everybody. We love y'all. May the Most High bless you. Shalom. Good night.
Having hard time in this crowd. having hard times. There's no love to be found. Having hard times in this crazy town. Having hard times. There's no love to be found.